opportunity I have. I praise the Lord for that opportunity. Before we get started, Hunter and Sarah, thank you guys so much for being here. I love the look in Sarah's eyes. She's like, what? Thank you guys for being here and blessing us with your presence. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I've never had the blessing or the privilege to be a part of our armed service. I've always admired them. I've always admired what they've had to go through, no matter what position you have in the military field, no matter what position you carry, it's a position of honor, and it's a position that you have earned and you have had to go through. And I've never had the privilege, although I've had contemplated that many times when I was younger, to go into the military, but just never had peace about doing that. But I've learned through many of the books I've read, through many of the biographies and the autobiographies, and then reading about special events, D-Day, and all that happened through our American Revolution, all of that, I admire the tactics that were used by the generals and the tactics that were used by the men and the fearlessness that they had to fulfill the mission that was given to them. And with that being said, I can't help but think of Vision Baptist Church as an army that God has decided to use and bring together in such a place like this. Why would I say that? What makes me think that we are an army that Christ is using? And as I was studying through God's word, and as I've been going through my personal devotions, I keep coming back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, what I'm going to say tonight is not going to be groundbreaking. It's not going to be anything you have not heard before. But I think it's a refresher that we might need. I know I need it. And it might be a refresher that you might need going forth with Vision Baptist Church and as a Christian in general. So when you find your place in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's go ahead and stand. We'll read just the first 7 verses, and then we'll be seated and get into the message. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier, not a lone wolf. A good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Twice we see a good soldier. The title of my message, if you want a title for it tonight, is this: why be a lone wolf when you're called to be a soldier? Why be a lone wolf when you're called to be a soldier? Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord God, I thank you so much for all you've done for us. I thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, as we take a short time to examine our hearts and the heartbeat of Vision Baptist Church, I pray that you'd help us and find us faithful as we are looking forward to what we can do in the community you have given us. Lord, I pray that you bless this time. Let everything be done to your honor and to your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. My favorite sport is basketball. I just love basketball. I can't explain it to you. I'm one of those guys that will look at the stat sheet for my team and I'll say, okay, I'll mark the assists, the rebounds, the intangibles, and all that. And then I'm even one of those guys, I like watching the summer league for some strange odd reason. The guys you will never hear about on there, and I love watching. I've been kind of enthralled with watching the summer league whenever I have time at home. And I've noticed there's different types of players. There's types of players that are there for themselves to try their best to get what they need to patting their stat sheet. And then there's those that are there for the betterment of the team. I will be honest with you. When I was in high school, I thought I was the next Kobe Bryant, right? I had the height. I had all of it. No, I'm just kidding. I thought I was the next Kobe Bryant. I thought I could score and no one could stop me. I wanted the ball every time. And I even went so far as to not pat. I actually went, I'm not proud of this. I looked back at the stat sheet through high school. This last time I was at the alumni game. And there was about five games where I didn't get one assist, but I got 50 points. And we lost all those games. And I felt so bad. So I was there, I wasn't there for me, I wasn't there for the team, I was there for me. Vision Baptist Church, Christians, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the things of the church, when it comes to the things of our community, when it comes to the things of reaching the lost for the cause of Christ, are you a lone wolf? Or are you a soldier? Are you in it for yourself? Or are you in it for the team? Many times we look at the cause of Christ and we look at the church and we look at the whole vision of the church and we look at other churches and see what in the world is happening over there. Why can't it happen here? And instead of looking forward to what God has given us, we kind of look at other ways and say, okay, what's it going to be like? What can I get for me? All right, that church has that program. Okay, that looks a little bit better for me. I'm going to go that way instead of making the situation you're in right now better. You see, as a soldier, you are recruited in an army that God has placed you at a station here. And at this station, you are called to fulfill a complete role that God has given you. The funny thing about it is that we look at our roles and we say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And many times we kind of go rogue and that's that lone wolf mentality. God says, endure hardness as a good soldier. I'm just going to show you three quick areas that we can improve on as a church to be a soldier instead of a lone wolf. Number one, bear the burdens of your fellow man. Bear the burdens of your fellow man. Look at verse number three. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. My daughter does not like me telling her about the good old days. She just doesn't. I sit her down and I say, your father was the next Kobe Bryant? Did you know that? Did you know that I scored 50? I kid you not, my daughter's 5 years old. She came to me and said, Dad, I get it. And she walked away. I get it. And she walked away. I've read books on different revivals, and I love reading, and I love reading about what God has done before. But why can't God do that now? Has God changed? Has he changed? And really, in reality, we look at ourselves and we say, well, it worked back in the day. Back in that, I get that. There was a great time. But why can't we take the lessons that we have learned back then and apply them to the generation now so that it will not be lost for the future generation? My daughter loves passing out popsicles, not because it's a fun thing to do for VBS, but just because I want her to learn, hey, door knocking still works. I want my 5-year-old I want my 5-year-old to turn 10 and to still love door knocking. I want my 5-year-old, my 2-year-old son, I want him to grow up in a church with the old, good gospel hymns, amen? I want him to learn to sing those gospel hymns. I want him to cherish those in his heart. I want my 1-year-old son to learn what it is to serve. And they're not going to learn that by me telling them, well, back in that day, this is what we used to do. Back in this, they're going to learn by me showing them. I think so many times we look at the life, the situation today, and we say it's hopeless. Well, God's not blessing. Well, what's going on? Instead of doing something about it. Endure hardness as a good soldier. A lone wolf in this situation will take the lessons that they have learned and keep them to themselves. A lone wolf in this situation will look at the church, ask what is going on, will God do anything, and then never lift a hand to help. A lone wolf will look at the church and look at the situation and say it's hopeless, and then go back to their lives Monday through Saturday, expecting the church to grow without them doing anything. That's a lone wolf. A soldier simply looks at the commander and says what needs to be done and gets it done. That's the difference between a lone wolf and a soldier. A soldier says, what must I do? Give me the orders, and gets it done. VBS is a good illustration of that. VBS, we had so many jobs. We had so many children. We topped out at 120 one night, I believe. And everyone was in their place. Pastor came up to me. He said, all right, who's taking care of this? I said, so-and-so. Who's taking care of this? So-and-so. Who's taking care of this? So-and-so. He's like, okay, I'll be in my office if you need me. That's how it's supposed to be. People in God's army working together to fulfill a common goal. Soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. So instead of wondering what is going on, who are you teaching to do it right so that it gets done? I love sitting down with people that have a genuine interest in my family growing. If you want to get on my good side and you want to really make me feel super happy, then give my kids a candy. That's how it is. I mean, I love it. I love it when they go to Miss Ava and she gives them a sucker and they're going, Aunt Ava gave me a sucker. I'm like, awesome. You know what that teaches them? I don't care they got the candy. That teaches them that there's someone in the church that loves them. And when they come to church, they're going to have someone there that loves them. And they'll associate the love of the Christians with church. That's teaching faithful men. You're giving my child a candy in church. It's not because they need a candy. They have a sugar high, and I thank you for that. But it's because they learned that, hey, someone at church loves me. They gave me something. They associate the church with love, and they want to carry that through the rest of their lives. That's teaching faithful men.
I had a time in Maryland where there was one gentleman that came in to one of my teenagers and started just giving him the right act. And the thing is, he wasn't saved. And so it was months and months and months of me working with this young boy and just writing him, said, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. And he came to me with tears in his eyes and said, I will never be back at church. And left. You can be a lone wolf and look at certain situations and say, you need to do this. Or you can show God's love. And you can say, hey, let me show you through my actions how to be a soldier in God's army. Young teenagers learn from adults. They learn from everything you say and everything you don't say. They learn from how you act and how you do not act. They learn from how you serve and how you do not serve. We're worried about the next generation, and yet we're not teaching them. And I'm guilty for this too. I'm not doing what I can with the young generation, and I feel awful about that. But what are we doing in this army as a soldier? Are we a lone wolf, or are we a soldier in teaching the future generation? Number two. You either bear the hardness of this world alone, or you'll share the burden with your fellow soldiers. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Since I've been here, and again, we're family here, and so I'm going to be honest with you. Since I've been here, anytime you start anywhere, it's tough. You move, you're in a new place, you're with new people, everything's just different. And the Lord has laid on people throughout the church to help my family. And we didn't go out, we don't wear signs that say, hey, help me, please, you know, things like that. We don't do that. We're very secluded to ourselves. We don't really talk to other people about our problems. We just, you know, go around with a cup, help, you know. We don't do that. But the Lord has laid on a few people to help us. And during those times of help, I can't explain to you how it was exactly enough or exactly what we needed to get us through that particular time in our life. I mean, to the exact cent. When you are praying and you are serving and you're working hard and you're doing what God wants you to do, whether it's in full-time Christian service or you're trying to provide for your family while working in the church, or you're trying your best just to be the most godly man and woman you can be, then God will lay on people to help you carry the burdens that you will have in your everyday life. Now, my question is, when God lays that on your heart, are you a lone wolf saying, well, they can figure it out? Or are you a soldier saying, let me carry your burdens? And it's not so much where we go up to everybody, okay, who needs a 20? You know, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, when was the last time you put your hand around somebody and said, you know what, the Lord just laid it on my heart to pray for you? What can I pray for you? What do you have? Hey, listen, is there something I could do for you? Is there something I can help you with? Is there a burden that you have in your life? Hey, listen, we all have problems in our life. We all have situations that go on. We all have things that we just do not want to share with other people. I get that. But what I'm saying is, when was the last time you went up to someone that God has laid on your heart, not in a grocery store, not in a gas station, but here in your very army of Vision Baptist Church, when was the last time you went to your fellow soldier and say, hey, you know what? We just need to pray. We need to talk to God. I don't know what you're going through. I don't need to know. But let's just pray. A lone wolf says, well, I've got problems. Everyone's got problems, so they'll just figure it out on their own. A lone wolf says, you know what? They must not have a good Christian spiritual life if they're going through problems. Which is a sad thing that many of us have thought in our lives. Well, what have they done so bad that God has to punish them? I had a preacher tell me one time that he went out from a station where he got his new tires. What is it? Discount Tires. He went to Discount Tires. And they put the lug nuts on, is that what they're called? Right? Okay, cool. They put the lug nuts on the tires, but they didn't screw them on right. And so he was driving down the road, and the tire literally popped off and just went down the road. And he told us at a preacher's meeting, and one of the preachers came up and said, man, what did you do wrong that God punished you? He said, God didn't punish me. He didn't do his job. Sometimes life happens. Life is hard, okay? If you haven't figured out, life is difficult. You have to get up every day. You have to go to work. And I hate to break it to you, if there was a way you could get a paycheck for sleeping, I think we'd all put a double shift in. That's just how we are, right? Because we all do not want to go to work until we receive that paycheck to pay the bills. Life is hard. Getting up, going through work is hard. Going through life is hard. Life is difficult. It's not always because we've done something wrong, because God is punishing us. Maybe God has just given you an opportunity to pray for your fellow soldiers. We got to get away from this mentality that bad things happen because God's punishing us. No, bad things happen because we're in a sin-sick world. Bad things happen because the devil's after us. Bad things happen because you're in a spiritual warfare. So you better start praying for one another. Otherwise, The devil's going to pick them off one by one.
So we know what a lone wolf does. What does a soldier do? A soldier bands together with his fellow mates and says, let's fight this battle together. Let's fight this battle together. The word independent Baptist does not mean we're independently individuals. Individually independent. There you go. Does not mean we're individually independent. It means we have made a stand that we are independent Baptist church, that we are standing by the King James Version Bible, that we're standing by God's holy word. That does not mean that we're each separate individual people that are fighting our own individual battles. If you think that, then God will not bless. God has brought you together. And let me tell you this from my heart. I love Vision Baptist Church. I love the people here. I've gotten to know you. I've gotten to pray with you. Some of you have called and we have talked. We have wept together. I've been able to be a part of your lives and you guys have been able to be a part of my family's lives. That's not by accident. That's not so we could say, well, we hear a church, we hear a message, and we leave. No, we bear each other's burdens. We endure hardness as a good soldier, not as a lone wolf. So why are you fighting these battles alone? And I'm saying you have to go out there and ask for help. I'm saying, when was the last time you said, hey, brother, can we pray? Can we just pray? Enduring hardness as a good soldier. And lastly, a lone wolf never has the right view, but a soldier has the commander's goals in his sights. Look at verse number 4. No man that warreth entangle himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We were at Bethel Baptist Church in Texas, and I said that very southern, didn't I? Texas, sorry. So anyway, you can't help but say Texas and sweet tea unless you're going to sweet. Anyway. So we were in Texas, and we were there, and we had a visitor spend many times in the church, and many weeks, and then the last time they were there, they weren't there for a few weeks after that. And I began to get a little worried. So my wife and I left the children with their aunt and uncle, and we went to go visit them, and we talked to them for a little bit. And I said, why haven't you been back? I mean, we love you, and they're still great friends of ours to this day. We pray for them daily. And they said, brother, I just can't get the color of the carpet out of my mind. The color of the carpet out of your mind. I'm like, yes, I can't get that color carpet. It just bugs me every time I look at it because you don't join. And that's why. Now, since then, he's gotten his heart right. He joined the church. He's fine. But the thing I asked him, I said, brother, why are you not focusing on the real goal instead of focusing on something that has no value whatsoever? Well, this ministry needs to be done that way. So if it's not going to be done that way, then there's just no point in doing it. Well, these pews need to be different shades of color. That wall needs to be pink. And pastor's already talked about this, so I'm not going to use that illustration. He actually stole it from me. But this wall needs to be pink. And if it's not pink, I'm not going to be happy. Listen to me very carefully. Do you not think that the devil is not entering inside your mind every little bit of detail so that you will focus on the little not even relevant tasks or relevant distractions that are in front of our lives instead of focusing on the true goal? The devil has been at this game a whole lot longer than you have. The world's been here a lot longer than you and I have been here. Your flesh, everything, it will always be against you. So what do? We say, well, if that's the way it's going to be done, then I'm not going to listen. Well, if that's the way that's going to be happening, I'm not going to listen. If they're not going to change that plant over there to a white, beautiful
orange blossom, then I'm not going to come. Listen to me very carefully. And I'm not saying we should not be have everything decently and in order. But I think we focus on the little things that have no eternal value instead of focusing on what can we do to make sure that we win our community for Christ. You know, I you know what I love about little children? VBS, not one of them came in here and said, well, that wall's ugly, or that pew's ugly, or that piano's not pink, or whatever. They didn't do that. They came in, they screamed at the top of their lungs, they listened to a Bible story, they focused on the crafts. You should have seen their eyes with those crafts. They thought they were the coolest things in the world. They just served God, and I had so many children just high-fiving me, said, we'll be back tomorrow, and they were so excited. I think that as Christians many times, and I'm guilty of this as well, we become too sophisticated for our own good. When it comes to the spiritual things of God, we have. Instead of focusing on how can I win that soul for Christ? How can I win that one for Christ? How can I be here? How can I be here for visitation? How can I be passing out tracts? How am I going to win my community for Christ? Instead of focusing on that, we focus on so many little things that have no eternal value. A lone wolf, instead of looking at the goal of the commander and receiving the orders, will go completely the opposite direction. Whereas a soldier bands together with his fellow soldiers and says, commander, we're all in. I have enjoyed 7 years of my life to be in full-time Christian service. I enjoyed working with Pastor Schaefer in Maryland, and I enjoy working with him here. But I'm not talking to you as someone that is in full-time Christian service. I'm talking to you as just a man who is a soldier in this army that God has placed me. And as a soldier in this army that God has placed me in, I see people that I love, I see people I care about, and I see a church that I am proud to be a part of. But I also see people that are hurting, I see people that are going through pain, and I see people that are just figuring out life on their own. I also see people that could possibly do more. I see people, and I'm one of them, I could do more. I see people that could possibly are wanting to be all in, but are not willing to, and do not know what the next step would be. We're soldiers. We're in this army together. We're in Vision Baptist Church together. That does not mean you have to be a lone wolf to figure out life on your own. That does not mean that you have to be a lone wolf and figure out how to grow this church on your own. That means as soldiers in this army, we are called to carry each other's burdens. As a soldier in this army, we are called to follow the orders of our commander together. Do not take the word independent as an invitation to be isolated. It's not. The word independent means that I independently believe that God is, that this Bible is the word of God, that he died on the cross, that he rose again 3 days. That does not mean that I am in this battle, in this fight alone. Are you a lone wolf or are you a soldier? There is a difference. As for me, I want to be a soldier, amen? I want to bear the burdens of my fellow Christians. I want to just have a Christian come up to me and say, brother, I don't want to talk about it, but can we just pray? I said, yeah, absolutely. I'm available. Let's pray. I want to be able to just talk, and I want to be able to speak openly. I want to be able to say, what can we do? Hey, it's Saturday. Brother Antonio, let's go out and knock some doors, and let's do that. Brother Dahman, let's go, you know? Trust each other. Lean on each other. Vision Baptist Church can grow, and it has the ability to grow. We're in a great community. We have a great church. God's working on our facilities. We have an amazing pastor, amen? And I honestly believe that we have all the tools we need to be a church that God can use as a lighthouse in this community. I think the one thing we're missing, the only thing we're missing, is that we need to learn what it means to be a soldier in this army. Leaning on each other, trusting on each other, all hands in, everything ready to go. What is asked of me from my commander, and I will get it done. You know, I'm looking forward to the time to where we'll have no more pain. We'll have no more sorrow. But that time's not now. So you have to lean on each other. Amen? Well, that's just something that the Lord has laid on my heart, something I've been battling with myself, because my personality, when you live in Maryland for 5 years, you kind of get this idea that, you know, you don't want to talk to anybody. You're just in a subway, and somebody could be twitching on the floor, and you'd be like, I wonder what's wrong with them. And that's just how you are. The first time I ever got some Southern hospitality, I went door knocking in Georgia, and we were knocking on the door, and a guy said, hey, come on in. Sat down, he offered me some sweet tea, had a dog that he didn't want anymore. Said, you want a puppy? Sure. So that's Sadie. Sadie's been with us for years. We got a dog the first time my door knocked in Southern, in the South. It's just different. I say all that to say this. We have a great church. We have a great, great community, great people. But what we need now is just trust and to lean on each other. Amen? And Pastor did not pay me to say this. He doesn't pay me anything yet. Nah, he doesn't pay me to say that. He doesn't even know what I was going to preach tonight. He doesn't look at my messages or ahead of time. This is just me from observation and from something that I've gotten from God's word. I want to be able to look at Brother Nathan and say, Brother Nathan, let's just pray. Brother Antonio, let's pray. Brother Kyle, let's pray. Let's lean on each other. Let's be soldiers instead of lone wolves, because we're not in this battle alone. Amen? Let's pray.